The first reading is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 3. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveling hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Jesus withdrew his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell about others about him. The second reading is taken from Matthew, chapter 8. Jesus heals a man with leprosy. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." This is the word of the Lord.
So we're looking at Matthew chapter 8 and verses 1 through 4. So I just want you to think of this in your imagination. Go back with me 2,000 years and into a home in the country of Palestine. And there is this family there, a man and a woman with their child, and they've asked a doctor to come in and see their child because the child has got a white spot that has appeared on his arm. So the doctor comes in and he looks at the child, and the doctor confirms the worst thing that this family could fear. The worst thing that could happen to anyone. The doctor confirms that their child has got leprosy. So for us today, we might think that, well, leprosy, it can be cured. But 2,000 years ago, there wasn't a cure for leprosy. Leprosy had the same effect on someone then as it does with people today with cancer. It's a dreadful disease. And at that time, not only was it dreadful for their health, but they had to be excluded from the family, from the community. They had to be cast out. They could not live with their family any longer. They could no longer live in the village. They could no longer live and commute with other people. That was the effect that leprosy had physically. And physically, of course, it had the effect that it would take an effect on their life because slowly that person would die. So can you sense the fear and the loneliness that this family had? Then also the fear and loneliness that this boy, as he grew up, would never feel the touch of a human hand again, would never feel the embrace of a mother again, because leprosy made people feel unclean. Not just feel unclean, it made them unclean. The law of Moses said this in Leviticus. It says, No one could come in contact with a leper. When you hear the cry of that young man and that young man's mother, as she found out that her son had leprosy, it must have been a dreadful experience, a dreadful time, not just then, but for the rest of his life. Now, if you move forward with me several years into this young man's life, you will find that leprosy has taken its toll. Not only has one spot occurred, but more spots have occurred, and he's starting to lose feeling in his body. The nerves start to disappear, and different things happen. Again, like I say, it's a very unclean, it's a very vile disease. And he awakes one morning, and he doesn't realize, to him, he's a leper. He still wakes up with leprosy on his body. But he doesn't realize that this day, one day that he wakes up, he's going to be touched by someone who's going to change his life, not just then, but change his life forever. In our text here, in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, we find the story of Jesus Christ. He's cleansing the leper. And I want you to understand this, that whenever we see the word leprosy or leper in the Bible, leprosy, it should get our attention. You see, leprosy is a picture of sin. While we may not have leprosy, we all suffer from the disease of sin. Therefore, we can all relate to this young man. We all need cleansing. And Matthew tells us this. He says, the Lord Jesus touched this man, and that touch made all of the difference. We're reminded in this passage of Scripture of the power of Jesus' touch to cleanse the sinner and give him a new life. As we begin to look at the instances in this Scripture about Jesus touching him, we're reminded this morning that the touch of Jesus cleanses us from sin, just as it cleansed that young man from his leprosy. There are three truths I want to bring out in this Scripture. I want us to notice in this grace passage, first of all, that the Lord's attitude, there is his attitude towards sinners. In those days, there was no one more of an outcast or more reviled than a person who had leprosy. They were forced to shout. Wherever they walked, they were forced to shout, unclean, unclean. They could never come in contact with someone who was healthy. People kept their distance from a person who had leprosy. In our text in verse 2, Matthew tells us that as Jesus came down from giving the Sermon on the Mount, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him. Now, approaching Jesus took courage on the part of the leper, and because legally he was not supposed to come in contact with anybody. Yet we can see not only the courage of this person who had leprosy, but we can also see the compassion of Jesus. Jesus could have chased that leper away, but instead we find Jesus displaying an attitude towards this man, a loving attitude. When we see the Lord's attitude towards this man, we are reminded that while we suffer from leprosy of sin, Jesus still loves and receives us. Notice a couple things that we have here. We see about his attitude towards sinners. Notice, first of all, that Jesus is willing to hear their cry. Matthew records for us in verse 2, as the man says, Lord, are you willing to make me clean? This is a cry of faith. In verse 3, Jesus says this. He says, I am willing. When I see these two words, I will, I'm reminded, first of all, that Jesus is willing to talk to those people who are not worthy to hear his voice. Just as he's willing to stop and listen to the cry of an unclean leper, he's always willing to hear the cry of an unclean sinner. Though he holds the universe in place and commands the cosmos, he is still attentive to the cry of the junkie who is sick of the needle. And though he guides the governors of the world, he's not too busy to hear the plea of an alcoholic who longs to be free from his prison of addiction. When we observe the Lord's attitude towards this man, we're reminded that when it comes to dealing with sinners, the Lord is not only willing to hear our cry, but notice also that he's willing to help our case. Again, we find in verse 2, Sorry, I need to go back. We find in verse 2 that the man wanted to be clean from his leprosy. And in verse 3, it came the words from Jesus. He says, I will. When he said, I will, he was not only showing his willingness to hear the man, but he was also showing his willingness to help the man. Having a God that will hear is one thing, but having a God that will help is something totally altogether different. When it comes to the Lord's attitude towards sinners, he is not only willing to hear their cry, but he is also willing to help their case. When the sinner cries for mercy and cleansing from sin, they do not have to twist the Lord's arm for his response. Jesus came to seek those and save those who are lost. And so he is always willing to intervene in the case of someone who is sick with sin. A sinner calling on Christ for mercy is like a man asking a robin to sing. It's something that happens naturally. Jesus is willing to participate in the cleansing of sinners. And so though we are guilty and tainted with the leprosy of sin, we don't have to worry about being rejected by Jesus. His attitude towards sinners is one in which he is willing to help both to help people to hear, but also to help them to come close and draw close onto him. So notice with me, there is a second truth in this scripture. We must not only see that the Lord's attitude towards sinners, but also we see that there is his affection for sinners. What has drawn us into this particular story is found in the beginning of verse 3. There it says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. As you may know, the law of Moses prohibited any kind of physical contact with a person who had leprosy. To touch a leper was to contaminate yourself, and therefore that would exclude you from going to worship in the temple. Nevertheless, in this case, we find Jesus reaching out and touching this leprous man. It's an act of compassion and affection, and it reminds us of the Lord's willingness to touch those who are infected with the disease of sin. So notice a couple things about the Lord's affection for sinners. First of all, we see that he will touch those who are contaminated. No doubt it's been years since anyone had laid a hand on this man with leprosy. His leprosy, his disease had left him, made him a pariah in society. He was contaminated and no one dared touch him. Yet Jesus was not afraid to put his hand on this man. His contamination did not scare the Son of God. Leprosy is not a threat to his deity. Much like leprosy, sin contaminates us. It defiles our bodies and it slowly eats at them until finally and completely it destroys our lives. Yet no one else can or will touch us. Jesus stands with an outreached hand, unafraid of our condition. He'll touch the tainted and he will handle the horrible. He'll love the loathsome. He'll grasp the gory. He is willing to put his hand on the worst of men and touch their condition. In Kathmandu, Nepal, Janet and I met a young man named Rajan. He was a drug-addicted lad, and he had a group of friends who were drug addicts as well. And one day, Rajan shared a needle with his friends, and he injected the drug into his leg. The leg became infected. He became HIV positive, and his leg had to be amputated. When we met Rajan, he was in hospital, and of course, having lost your leg, you're going to be very angry, not at just the nurses and doctors, but the world. You know, why did it happen to me? He would be visited by our pastor and a lot of youth volunteers from the church. They would come and see him every day. And they saw him daily until he was released from hospital. And after his release from hospital, he came to stay and live at the church for a while. And he came to know Christ and he was baptized in Christ. And when he was well enough, he went out from the church and he would go and visit every one of the schools that he could within the Kathmandu vicinity there. He visited hundreds of schools telling the young people the dangers of drugs. Nearly a year had gone by when Rajan became sick, as most HIV patients become. They will get tuberculosis. Their immune system is just gone, and tuberculosis is the first thing that attacks them. So we saw him in a tuberculosis hospital. We went to visit him and spent some time with him, and then it was time for us to leave. And we thought, well, let's pray, Rajan. And I just put my hand on his hand to pray. But a real fear came over me, the fear that I could contact his tuberculosis. And I was just felt so uncomfortable. You know, I was not prepared for that experience. You know, when we finished the visit and we left Rajan, it really, really made me think that I'm glad that when I was contaminated with sin, Jesus didn't hesitate to touch my hand. He didn't hesitate to say, Ron, you know, I'll forgive you your sins. I wish I could have felt the same way when I prayed with Rajan. So I'm glad when I came to know Jesus, tainted and contaminated, that there was no hesitation in Jesus' heart to touch me. He lovingly touched Rajan. He touched the blind. And he touched the leper. And he is not afraid to touch those who are contaminated with sin today. And notice something else we see about Jesus, his affection for sinners. Not only that he will touch the contaminated, but notice also that he will touch the condemned. This man, this leper, woke up this morning knowing that death was slowly but surely eating away at his body. He was, for all intents and purposes, a condemned man. While his life appeared to be hopelessly lost, when he asked the Lord Jesus to heal him, we find that Jesus was not intimidated by the hopelessness of his situation. He that would conquer death knew that this man's sentence of death could be lifted. He touched him who was condemned and removed his curse. So in much the same way, sin condemns men and women today. And as the Bible clearly states that the wage of sin is death, sin is our condemnation. And yet every day Jesus reaches out to the hopelessly lost and touches their sin-sick hearts, and he lifts them from their condemnation and gives them hope and a new life. No one is beyond the reach of his touch. He can and still touch the condemned. As hopeless as their situation may be, Jesus can deliver them from their doom. There is one more truth that I want us to look at from this story. And notice also not only the Lord's attitude towards sinners and the Lord's affection for sinners, but notice also that there is the Lord's ability for sinners. While it is likely that no one has ever touched this man who had leprosy after many years, it is certain that no one ever touched him the way that Jesus did. Look at verse 3. It says, after the Lord touched the man, he says, he immediately was cured of his leprosy. Without delay, the skin was restored, and he was restored in all of his health, mentally and physically. And there is a reminder here that what Jesus can do for sinners that no one else can. He has a unique ability with sinners. Notice a couple of truths about the Lord's ability to help those that are sick with sin. Notice, first of all, that he can remove filth before God. Notice again in verse 3 that the leprosy was cured. The word says cured. And the word translated cured comes from a Greek word that literally means to cleanse free from filth. Leprosy was unlike any other disease because it made people unclean, made them filthy, made them vile. Leprosy, really, the skin. In Nepal, they have a lot of leprosy. You can smell the skin decaying. That's how vile it is. Imagine that. That is why Jesus did not just cure the leprosy or simply just cause it to stop in its progress. He cleansed the leprosy, meaning that this man not only stopped having the disease, but it erased all of its effects on his body. So in much the same way, sin defiles us. It leaves us unclean and dirty in the eyes of God. We need not only to be cured of our desire to sin, but we also need to be cleansed from the dirtiness of our sin. The good news is that Jesus Christ has the ability not only to cure our sin, but also to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He can immediately wash away the filth of our sin before God. So is your life black with sin? Do the stains of sin clutter and contaminate your life? If so, Jesus has the ability to wash away those sins. He cleansed the filthiness of this leper, and he can cleanse the filthiness of a sinner. Now, notice something else we see about the Lord's ability with sinners. Notice not only that he can remove our filth before God, but notice too that he can restore our friendship, our fellowship with God. Notice with me in verse 4, after commanding the man to keep quiet about what had happened, Jesus said this to him. He said, "Go, show yourself to the priest." And you may not realize it, but that was a remarkable thing for someone to tell a leper. Part of what made leprosy so horrible on that day was the fact that it prohibited the leper from going to the temple to worship God. It was a crime for a leper to try and enter the temple. They were defiled. However, now this man had been cleansed. His rights to worship are going to be restored. So like the leper, the sinner is separated from God. His holiness prohibits sinfulness from coming into God's presence. And yet when a sinner is cleansed by Jesus, he not only removes the filth of their sin, but he also restores the fellowship with the Father. I've got a friend, a longtime friend of mine named Steve, and he works in the state of North Carolina in a city called Fayetteville. Fayetteville's got a very deprived part of the city, very, very poor. And through the church, he goes around and the church helps to repair houses and bring in furniture or move furniture, bring food and this sort of thing. One day, Steve knocked on the door of this house and he was met at the door by a teenage girl. And this teenage girl was pregnant and she wasn't married. So she shared with Steve the situation that she was in, and she appreciated having someone to talk to. And every day for several weeks, Steve would go by and see this girl and talk with her. And on one of these visits when he was talking with her, he really felt the Holy Spirit speaking to him and just saying, you know, explain to her the way of salvation. And he did. And this girl, she accepted Jesus Christ into her life. And then from that Sunday on, she started going to church. She went to church for several months, and then she stopped coming to church. And so Steve went back to her house and knocked on the door, and he talked to her. He says, "Well, hey, what's happened? I haven't seen you in church." And this girl, she says, "Well, I can't come to church anymore." And Steve says, "Well, why?" Thinking that maybe her parents don't want her to go to church. She says, "No, that's not it." She says, "The reason I can't come to church anymore is because I feel dirty and unclean and vile in your church." He says, "Well, why?" "Because Jesus has forgiven your sins. Jesus has forgotten your sins." And the girl, she said this. She says, "Well, Jesus has forgiven me, and Jesus has forgotten my sins. But some of the people in the church, they haven't forgiven me. They haven't forgotten me." You know, on a subjective level, we in the church can sometimes make people feel guilty long after Jesus has forgiven them their sins, long after Jesus has forgotten their sins. That's a subjective level. On a personal level, individual, is there someone that you need to forgive? Paul says this in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. He says, "God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all of us our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross." You think, wow, what a Savior. What a God. What a man this is. Where once we could only dream of having a fellowship with God, we are now granted access to God through Jesus Christ. Have you ever seen this picture? It's back in the 1960s. John F. Kennedy was the president of the United States. And there's a child walking there in the office. Well, he's on the phone talking business. And no one else probably could have walked into that office except his son. This little child had a privilege to be able to be in the same office of a man who's directing a whole country. And yet he was allowed to, because what made this boy important was his relationship with his father. And that's the same thing with us. What makes us that relationship with God? That's what is important. That's what it's about. The president happened to be this little boy's father. So once a sinner comes to Jesus Christ in repentance of sin and faith, we find that Christ not only has cleansed us, but he has given us access to God, God who is our Father. The good news is that Jesus Christ is still in the business of touch. And he can still touch the vilest, sickest, and blackest hearts and give them new life. If he has touched you, then you should rejoice today to remember that he has touched your life and given you a new life. If he has never touched you, then today you can call on him. You can find that he is still there, willing to touch the sinner and give a new life in him. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this message. And most of all, I thank you, Lord, for your Son Jesus and what he has done for so many people throughout all of their lives, through eternity, Lord. We thank you for that gift of love and this hope of salvation that we have, Lord, through your Son. And we just pray that for each one of us, Lord, that from this message that we can take something to it. Help us to draw closer to you in our relationship to you. Help us to draw closer to our family and friends around us, Lord. Lord, we ask this through your Son, Jesus. Amen.